ते वासुदेवाय ओ सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 15 अतः पापयसिं योनिम् आसुरिं याहि दुर्मते यतेह भूयो महतां नाकर्ता पुत्र किल्बिषम् अतः ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन ओ इम्प्यूटेड वन माय डियर सन नाउ टेक बर्थ इन अ लो सिनफुल फैमिली ऑफ डीमंस सो दैट यू विल नॉट कमिट सच एन ऑफेंस अगेन टुवर्ड एक्सॉल्टेड सेंटली पर्सन्स इन दिस वर्ल्ड परपोर्ट वन शुड बी वेरी केयरफुल नॉट टू कमिट ऑफेंसेज एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ वैष्णवास ऑफ होम लॉर्ड शिव इज द बेस्ट While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava as Hathi Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, for Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father Mahadev, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within this material world. The goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. Because Chitraketu was undoubtedly a Vaishnava, he might have been surprised that Parvati had cursed him. Therefore, the goddess Parvati addressed him as Putra or son. Everyone is the son of Mother Durga, but she is not an ordinary mother. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to his senses. This is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Devi hesha gunamahi mam maya durattaya mam eve prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also. For no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva. Without serving a servant of Krishna, one cannot be elevated to being a servant of Krishna himself. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Chitraketu exactly like a mother who says to her naughty child, My dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again. This tendency of a mother to punish her child is found even in Mother Yashoda, who became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Yashoda punished Krishna by binding him and showing him a stick. Thus, it is the duty of a mother to chastise her beloved son. Even in the case of the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that Mother Durga was justified in punishing Chitraketu. This punishment was a boon to Chitraketu because after taking birth as a demon Vitrasur, he was promoted directly to Vaikuntha. Om Agya. So before I start speaking on this, I seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak for my purification and devotee's pleasure. Especially Srivas Prabhu, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, please bless me. So this shloka is very important and purport, many points are there. So we'll try to see two, three main themes which Prabhupada is saying here. And first thing which Prabhupada is talking about offenses in the purport. And then after talking offenses, that how dangerous it is, he talks about Durga Devi, how she is mother and service to Vaishnavas. So basically, when living entity come to this world, so she comes, living entity comes under the control of Durga Devi, Mahamaya. So same personality, Radharani, who has a lotus in her hand, expand herself and take Trishul, trident, and punishes living entity in the form of Durga. So that when living entity is under the modes of material nature, under the control of Durga Devi, and Durga Devi has a Trishul, trident, so that Trishul is also a sign of mercy only. Although many times people complain that one of the reason atheistic people gives for non-existence of God, one of the main argumentative point that if God is there, why so many sufferings? But actually, these sufferings are a sign of Lord's mercy. It's a sign of that He loves us. He wants us back to enjoy that ever-increasing bliss. Example is given, if a child puts his hand into fire, and if fire doesn't have any burning sensation, and child will lose whole hand because he doesn't even know what is happening. Or even we, if we put our hand into fire, so immediately there is indication there is something wrong happening here. So any intelligent person, if he's facing so many sufferings, so many problems in his life, so many ups and downs, so naturally he should ask a question, what's wrong? There must be some punishment has been given to me because I did something wrong. Otherwise, why these things are happening? And who is giving that punishment? So all these sufferings should force us to think that whether God is there or not. Or God has to be there. Rather not saying that God is not there. So this is an important thing, that God has put this suffering so that living entity, when he tries to enjoy on his own independently, then so that he can come to his senses that he can never become blissful or happy in this world. But many times people say that, you know, you can enjoy happiness only when there is a some misery, some dukkha. How can you be just enjoying all the time happiness? If all the time happiness is there, you will become bored after that. But that is the definition of material happiness. Because material object, after some time, start losing their charm, start losing their thrill for which we are attracted to them. It may be a car, which new brand car we have bought, new house, new partner, whatever. It's all, after some time, start becoming detestable. We don't like it. But spiritual pleasure, it's anandambudhi vardhanam. It's every moment is increasing. Every new encounter with Krishna has more bliss, you know. It's more exciting than previous encounter. So this bliss or this happiness is not like so-called mitigation of pain, so-called happiness of this world, which is just a mitigation of pain. In material world, it's just a mitigation of pain. Like you have been beaten constantly, and for some time when beating is stopped, then person feels that I am happy. A person is put into the wire. Chaitanya Charitamrita gives this example. When the thief, they would put him upside down into the river, and when he's suffocating, just about to die, they will take him out. They feel, oh, I got a, what a relief, what a happiness. It's not a happiness in one sense. It's just a relief from that misery which he was undergoing in the water. So if nobody reminds us that, oh, this kind of all the time misery and sometimes just mitigation of misery you call happiness, and then he reminds that something else is there beyond this world, so that is actually mercy of the Lord. A story is told by of this Praharera Dhananjaya, that one person had some 5-6 daughters, and he married them all. All of them came in the vacation to visit their father, and they brought their husbands also. So like in vacation, daughters go to their father's house. So father was very happy that daughters have come, and his son and were also very happy. But the thing is that they were not going only 10 days, 20 days.
They were just staying there. So then he thought, now it's too much. Now they should go back. So then he started cutting down in their meals. Like one day he cut down sabji. So they asked, sabji is not there? He said, no, today we didn't bring sabji. So some of them felt offended, you know, that what is this? We came here and he's not giving anything. So one or two people left. He said, we are going. Okay, well, you should go. So next day, also 3-4 people are there. So then he cut down chapati also. What happened now? It's only rice dal. Only rice dal. That's what we can give. So two more left. Next day only rice with some namak or shakkar. But still one person remained. He said, I'll remain here only. So then son told that I'll take care of him. Then the night he started beating him like anything and then he ran away. So this is a Prahareda Dhananjaya. This person was, he needed beating actually. So when person is very adamant, he doesn't listen, he doesn't understand with any indications, then he needs heavy beatings. And then he runs. So this story says that this material world is not our home. You know, our home is in the spiritual world. Unnecessarily you come to some other place and you try to live there, then it's become very awkward situation. Then you need beating, you know. So that's why Durga Devi is beating us. Still we are not understanding. So this is our misfortune. Not only beating us, when living entity try to do something wrong, nature react in so many ways to give indication that this is not right. Like I was reading this one book where he says that on the earth planet, in the last one century, the kind of pollution has been taken place. It had not taken place in last 20, 30 or whatever centuries. This is just one last one century. So now nature is reacting in the form of so many cyclones and floods and diseases which I have never heard of. This is all because of mass karma which whole planet is doing. And we are all part of this planet, so we also have to suffer. We also are part of it. Because karma is like that, or offenses are like that. When we are living in some place, then we become part of it. Like people, according to Shastra, people should not perform illicit sex, they should not take intoxications. But when they take intoxication, tobacco and all that, so many diseases comes. And then they say, why, if they are not needed, then why Lord created them? Sometimes if you talk to some people, they give this argument. But they have some other purpose, like tobacco and all those things can be used as one of the medicinal things somewhere in a small quantity. They may be having some purpose. And some things are not even, you know, like Madan Gopalpur knows many of these things. I don't know much. But actually is there. I'm sorry. But and then illicit sex. Shastra says we should not do that. And now you do, and then you have AIDS and all that. So you only write on the board and in the walls, then, you know, you should not have this and just be happy in your marriage life. So nature will force you to follow the Shastras in other way around, by beating or something. So this is a Durga's role, like Prabhupada is writing. She's our mother, and she is not ordinary mother, Prabhupada is writing. Immediately she will punish. Because ordinary mother sometimes may not give punishment, like especially today's modern society, children are not disciplined, and that's why they do all kinds of problems later on, all kinds of wrong things they do. So that is why Durga Devi immediately punishes and reminds us that this is not our place. We should leave this place and go back home, back to Godhead. Like Government of India has made jails, prison houses. They are also part of mercy of government only. To the citizens, those who can live peacefully, and even to the criminals. Because if they want, they can make stand all the criminals in a line and shoot them. It's very easy. Why to maintain so much jails and so much money has to be spent, crores of rupees. You know, so much manpower is required. Ministry of is there, or Ministry of Prison may be there. So much money has been needed for that. But this is actually mercy of the government, because purpose of the jail and prison house is to reform the living entity so that they can reform themselves and again become a citizen, nice citizen. So Lord wants all of us to go back home, back to Godhead, and that is his only purpose.
And that's what Durga Devi is reminding us. Second thing Prabhupada is talking about in his purport about the danger of offenses. Mm-hmm. That how dangerous it is if we commit an offense against a devotee. Especially aparad, in Hindi it's called aparad. Apa means against or without. And rad means to please or the flow of affection. So we want to stop the flow of affection, that is aparad. That flow of affection which is coming from Lord or from Radharani, that is stopped when we commit aparads, offenses. The nature of devotional service is such that this, especially the five items, most important items of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that if any one of them are performed without offense, immediately they will generate spontaneous ecstasy in us. But the only thing which is stopping us, you know, is standing between us and ecstasy, is this aparad. Mm-hmm. So I am also committing a lot of aparad. So we are all doing that. So if we can understand the nature of this aparad and be careful, then we can very easily come closer to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Among all the aparads, aparad towards a devotee of Krishna is very dangerous. And offenses take place mainly because of the pride. That person start considering himself superior to others. And because of that, he thinks that I know better what this person knows, and then he may criticize him, or he may just do backbiting, or even some many things are there, like envy, pride and envy. Envy is there. You cannot tolerate that how another person is faring well in certain field. Mm-hmm. So Govind Prabhu is talking in one of the lecture that envy can be at three level: passive, active and aggressive. That passive envy is just you are feeling that, you know, that this person is doing well, I should also be doing. So you are feeling little envious. But active means you want to criticize or something. And aggressive, you want to pull his leg more. So he was saying passive envy may be there because we are all conditioned souls. But we should not go to the zone of active and aggressive, that purposefully trying to pull the leg of the person. Like if somebody's leg, some wound is there, some accident took place. So you should not feel, achha ho gaya, aur hona chahiye. Or you try to hurt him, then it become aggressive. Active means that you start taking joy, and aggressive means you try to hurt more. So then it's become very dangerous. So false pride lead to disrespect, and this disrespect lead to offenses. Like in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he thought that he is right and Vishnu is wrong. Similarly, many other examples can be seen in Shastras, like Daksha and Shiva pastime is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Daksha was feeling so much pride that I am good, I am better than everyone, you know, everybody should respect me. And when Shiva didn't get up, he became so angry. And because of blaspheming Shiva, he lost everything. There is a shloka which comes in 10th canto, 4th chapter. Ayu Shreyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Ashish Evacha Hanti Shreyam Si Sarvani Pumso Mahat Atikramaha. Now what happens when a person commits offense? My dear king, when a person persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of Ayu, Ayu means longevity, long life, Shriyam means beauty, Yasha, fame, Dharma is religion, and Lokan means promotion to heavenly planets, and Ashisha, blessings, all these things are destroyed. Excuse me. So these offenses we have to take care. One devotee was saying that we perform so many services. In the course of services we commit offenses just to do something, you know, like just to prove that I am very good and all that. So he was mentioning a very important statement: the services will change, but offenses will remain. That services will keep changing, but offenses will remain, and you have to face those offenses. So we have to be very careful when we are dealing with devotees, dealing with different paraphernalia of the Lord. And main thing, Bhakti, you know, Thakur writes in his book of Bhakti Aloka, I was just reading one section once, he says that whatever prajalpa is not favorable for devotional service should be carefully given up. Because by giving up prajalpa, we permanently regulate the urge to speak, vacho vegam. And this prajalpa only becomes the cause of many offenses and criticism. Like Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage any specific duty without criticizing others. You know, this is the safest position. That he should be careful to engage in his specific duty. He should not worry about what is happening here, there. So this is the nature of the conditioned soul, that he just want to see others, compare with them, and then criticize, become envious. But if the path Prabhupada is saying that if he is engaged fully in a very vyavasatmika way, fully concentrated way, in his specific duty, then there is not enough time for all these things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, in order to pass one's life without sin, one should not speak more than whatever little is necessary. That is the warning, or that is the suggestion is given, that if we can control the vacho vegam, not just passing comments or speaking ill about someone even without knowing anything about him, so we can live a life without sin. One need discuss only whatever is auspicious for oneself and others. So that is the only thing we should discuss, that is auspicious for oneself and for others. Otherwise it's very dangerous. Many offenses take place because of that. So these offenses are very dangerous, and if we are careful in avoiding them, then we can actually achieve the mercy of the Lord. At the same time, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Chhariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva. That one thing, that we have to avoid offenses, and second thing, we have to take shelter of devotees. We have to serve them. Like Chaitanya Bhagavat says, Krishna Seva Heteo Vaishnava Seva Bad Bhagavati Sarva Shastra Keladara. That all the Shastras, Bhagavatam and all the Shastras, they are saying with one point, with one mat. That what is that one mat? Krishna Seva Heteo Vaishnava Seva Bada. That bigger than Krishna Seva is Vaishnava Seva. Bigger than service to Krishna is service to Vaishnavas. So this service to Vaishnavas is such a powerful thing, that by doing this we can achieve mercy of Krishna. So there is a pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita which very much elaborate on this point, and that is about King Pratap Rudra meeting Lord Chaitanya. But King Pratap Rudra wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not agreeing. Saurabhattacharya has gone to put a request to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And before putting request, he was very much fearful. He said that, I am very fearful to put a request. Please assure me, sir, you will not become angry or something like that. So he said, I will not become angry. You say whatever you want to say. But it's up to me whether I will accept or not. I can reject it. So then Saurabhattacharya said that this particular king, Pratap Rudra, he is very anxious to meet you and he wants your permission. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya hears this, Karne Hastadiya Prabhu Ismare Narayana, that he puts hand on his ears and he starts remembering Narayan, Narayan, Vishnu, Vishnu. What are you saying, Sarvamo? Ayogya Vachan, you are speaking these words which are not fit to be spoken. How can you say this? Virakta Sanyasi Amara Raja Darshan. I am a detached, I am a renounced order of life. How can I meet a king who is associated with wealth and women? So please don't talk about it. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes a shloka from Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya Param Param Jigmishor Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishainam Athayoshitamcha Ha Hant Hant Vishabhakshananto Apiyasadhu. So he says, greatly lamenting, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Saurabhattacharya, alas, how are you speaking like this? Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya. He says that person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean, Param Param, this material ocean is Bhavsagar. Bhavsagar. This is material world and there is spiritual world. In between there is a Vaitarni river. And that Vaitarni river is like an ocean. And to cross the ocean is the object of many, very few people. Very few people have that object. And those who have that object, param param jigmishor bhavasagarasya, they should be very careful that you should not associate with materialistic person who is engaged in sense gratification or a woman. For a man is woman and for a woman is a man. Opposite sex basically, the root cause of sense gratification. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very angry and he says that you should not speak like this. And if you speak like this again, then I'll not stay here, I'll go away. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict on this point. Why he was very strict? Because Sarvabhattacharya was very intimate friend of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord even refused to see the king despite the request of a personality like Sarvabhattacharya. So even when Sarvabhattacharya put this request, not an ordinary person, Lord Chaitanya not only rejected, he gave the threat that I will go away from Jagannath Puri if you speak like this. Because Sarvabhattacharya was saying, no, this king is a very special king. He is a very great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, he may be a great devotee, but the name king itself is enough that I cannot go to him. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu totally rejected his request. But later on, when Ramananda Rai came with king to Jagannath Puri, and king went to Jagannath temple to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and Ramananda Rai immediately came to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord had met Ramananda Rai during his South India Yatra in Kubur. And there they had discussed many pastimes of Lord and everything. And then Lord had requested that you please resign from your job and come to Jagannath Puri in my association. So Ramananda Rai had requested king and already got the permission for resignation. And now with great pleasure, he approaches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered obeisances. Lord Chaitanya embraced him in great ecstasy. And Ramananda Rai says that I already talked to Pratap Rudra, and when I informed him that I don't want to continue with his political affairs, I want to be in association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he became very happy, he became very blissful. And he said, oh, very nice, this is a very good thing, and immediately granted him permission. And when I submitted this proposal, he became so happy, he just stood up from his throne and embraced me. And he says, Tomara Nam Shuni Hailep Mahapremavesh. That just by hearing your name, he became overwhelmed in a great ecstasy. Mora Hate Dhari Kare Priti Vishesh. And he started holding my hands with love. And he started saying that I will immediately give you relief from your job without restriction. And I give you full salary as a pension. So immediately go and serve Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Ami char yogya nahi tara darshana, tari yehi bhaje tara safala jivana. The king said, I am most fallen and abominable, and I am unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. Nahi tara darshane, tari yehi bhaje tara safala jivane. One who, once life is successfully, one engages in his service. So here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remembrance give lot of ecstasy to King Pratap Rudra. Why it happened? Because King Pratap Rudra was non-envious. He was not having envy that this person is getting mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is under me. He is younger than me. He is just one of the servants in my kingdom. And I have not been given opportunity to even see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this non-envious nature immediately was giving him ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remembrance. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not meeting him because of external reasons. And then, Parama Kripalu Teha Vrajendra Nandana Kona Janame More Avashya Divena Darshana. King said that Vrajendra Nandana, the same Krishna has come at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Parama Kripalu. He is supremely merciful. Kona Janame, in some life, I will get his darshan. So again, he was having patience also. He was ready to wait. Not that if I don't get the mercy, okay, no problem, I will worship some other demigod or something. Ekmatra, fixed attention. That is the only qualification to receive the mercy of the Lord. Anya bhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavratam. And the example is given of Madhu Vrata, that a bumblebee, she has a vrata, that she will take only nectar from the different flowers. So that vrata is required. I mean, Ramananda Rai was saying about Lord, about King Pratap Rudra, in humility he started saying that Tara ek prema lesh nahi kamate. The kind of prema, the kind of love of God King Pratap Rudra has, I don't even a fraction of his prema. Like that he started glorifying King Pratap Rudra. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, then he started considering King Pratap Rudra's case. And he said, Tume Krishna Bhakta Pradhan, Toma ke priti kare sei bhagyavan. That you are the foremost of all devotees. And if somebody loves you, then he is Mahabhagyavan, he is most fortunate. Tomate ye et priti haila rajar, e gune Krishna tare karibhyangikar. Because he has developed love for you, he has served you. Now Krishna is going to embrace him. Krishna is going to shower mercy on him. So this is the secret which is given in the Shastras, in the scriptures, that when we become dear to devotees, when we please them, serve them, then Krishna mercy comes in our way. Externally it may appear that person has not wearing the dress of so-called devotee attire, or maybe he is, you know, in difficult situation, or maybe externally he is not in close association with very, you know, big devotees. But if he is able to please devotees, and that is only between us and Krishna, Krishna knows that, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew about it. So then at the right time, Krishna will shower his mercy. In one of the lectures I was hearing, this one devotee was saying that George Harrison, he served Prabhupada so much. He helped Prabhupada to publish Krishna book, gave so much donation. And even when devotees were living in the small temple in the main London, what that street? Soho Street, that place, Bari place. So there, it was such a small place and so many devotees were joining that time. Hundreds of devotees were joining ISKCON. And in the night, Prabhupada was seeing that devotees were sleeping in hallway, in staircase, and there's no place to sleep. And Prabhupada was wondering, you know, what to do. These devotees have taken my shelter and I have no place to even, good place so that they can sleep. So then George Harrison actually bought a whole big Bhaktivedanta manor and gave in donation. Like that he served Prabhupada in a very, very special way. And Prabhupada also would like him very much, would love him very much. And the proof is that how he got Prabhupada's mercy, that when he was attacked by some thief in his house, and again he was stabbed by a knife. So unconsciously he was crying the name of Krishna. He was chanting the holy name. This was not a conscious effort. Unconsciously he was crying the name of Krishna. So that cannot come just, you know, by chance. That come only by mercy of Lord. And even while leaving his body a few years before, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Mukund Goswami Maharaj was there next to him for many days. They were chanting the holy name. And he was also remembering Lord and chanting. So this special mercy descends when somehow we earn the favor of Vaishnavas. And that is a secret. And Srila Prabhupada writes, this was very much appreciated by the Lord. What? That King Pratap Rudra gave full pension and full liberty. You do whatever you want. And this confirmed the fact that the Lord is more pleased when one serves the servant of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes, the ordinary parlance, in ordinary parlance, like in Aam Bhasha, we say that if you love me, love my dog. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes so happy that he starts quoting many shlokas from Shastras. Started saying that how by serving my devotees, you can serve me better. By serving devotees of Krishna, you can please Krishna better. And then he quotes from Adi Puran, this famous shloka. Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhaktasya te jana, mad bhaktam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamataha. That those who are my direct devotees are actually not my devotees. But those who are devotees of my servant are actually my devotees. Mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamataha. That those who are devotees of my devotees, they are actually my devotees. Like when anybody would come to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and would say, I am devotee of Krishna, he would say, I don't have any time. But if anybody would say, I am dasan udas, I am servant of devotees, then he would say, I have all my time for you. Because that is the way. And then he started quoting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted, mad bhakta puja vidika sarubhiteshu manmati. That my devotees worship other devotees and find all living entities related to me. And then he quoted the shloka which is very appropriate for today's verse, because Shiva and Parvati are there in the context. This shloka is quoted by Shiva to Parvati. Aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnu aradhanam param, tasmat partaram devi tadyanam samarchanam. But aradhanam sarvesham, that Lord Shiva is saying to Durga that, my dear Devi, the Vedas recommend worship of demigods and many things, but among all the worship, aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnu aradhanam param, the worship of Vishnu is supermost, foremost, topmost. Tasmat partaram devi. However, our the worship of Lord Vishnu is tadiyanam samarchanam. That anything which is connected to Lord Krishna, tadiyanam, my devotees are connected to me. So worshipping them is greatest. So these shlokas when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and then Ramanandaraya becomes very happy. And later on we comes to know that in Rath Yatra festival, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his own falls in the lap of King Pratap Rudra. Although externally he is saying, chi chi, externally, where I have fallen. But can he fall on his own? You know, can he fall just by chance? I am saying, can I just fall by mistake? He is supreme controller. Everything is controlled by him. So on his own only he fell, and just to give him mercy. But externally as a sannyasi he is doing that. And later on also when devotee's mercy, King Pratap Rudra has been sent to the garden where Lord Chaitanya was taking rest and he was massaging feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya showers such great mercy on him. So like that there are many pastimes are there in the Shastras where we can see that if we offend devotees, there is no hope. And if we serve devotees, just please them, then it's all the things are available for us. And to please devotees, it's not so difficult also. And difficult also. If we are simple, it's easy to please them. But what happens that, at least I'm talking about myself, that our mind is complicated and because of that complicated mind, we are not able to serve in a simple way. So then it becomes difficult. It becomes very difficult actually. The most difficult thing it becomes. Otherwise it becomes the simplest thing. So even in Prabhupada's lives, we see that how he would be always in the mood of taking blessings of Vaishnavas. Especially when he was living in Vrindavan, there is one book about Prabhupada's memories. There many devotees writing that how Prabhupada would be distributing peda, barfi to local Vrijvasi children. He would keep always a box. And then if somebody would come, he would even give donation, some small amount. He would greet Vaishnavas very happily. Once he was chanting and one of the local Vrijvasi came to meet him. And he was waiting for some time, but then he entered into the Prabhupada's small room. And when he entered, Prabhupada looked at him because Prabhupada was totally absorbed, closed his eyes. And then he said, oh, I think I disturb you in chanting. So Prabhupada said, no, when Vaishnava comes, there is no disturbance. Please sit, please sit. So he will always respect, he would always in the mood of blessings. Like this one devotee, Sriman Gopal Chandra Ghosh, writes in his book that especially this one's incident, there was one Bengali lady was there in Vrindavan. She was god sister of Prabhupada, and she had become widowed some 15-20 years back, and she was living in Vrindavan. She would live near old Gopinath temple in a small hut. She had given all the ornaments and everything in Bengal only, in one of the mutt of Bhaktisan Saraswati, and started living in Vrindavan. And then she would sit near Govindji temple just to collect some donation if somebody gives her. So Prabhupada would regularly go just to meet her, just to give some nice encouraging words, some fruit, some grains, and then he would ask that, how your bhajan going on, are you quite well, can I do something for you? So that is the nature of a Vaishnava, that is the nature of a devotee, that he wants to help each and everyone, he wants to serve whatever way he can. And then she would say, brother, you please bless me, so I shall leave my body in Vrindavan. That is only her request. So, and then Prabhupada would just be very kind and encouraging. And this person writes, then actually, later on, she left her body in Vrindavan, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So these are the wonderful dealings which are available. And if we are careful, then we can also achieve them. Only thing, we have to be very conscientious and careful, especially about this Vachovegam, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Because Vachovegam becomes the cause of criticism and prajalpa. And then unknowingly we commit something that we don't even know. You know. But knowingly or unknowingly, sin or offense, both are counted. Because if somebody is performing sin unknowingly, ignorance of law is no excuse. Similarly with offenses also. And especially when we have knowledge and we commit offense, we become more aggressive in that regard. So I pray all of you to bless me that I can also follow this. Hare Krishna. If any comments, please, or questions. Gopinath, Mike. Mike there? No? Achha. Shivas, Prabhu. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki.